You're listening to a podcast from Jubilee Church, Farnham. To find out more, visit www.jubilee.church.
You a question. Have you ever been set a task, asked to do something that you felt completely unqualified to do? Many times. Maybe you've been asked to do something and you've not understood the magnitude of the task before you took it on. Well, there was a time when I reckon the disciples felt a bit like that. Now, let me just set the scene. We've got Jesus, the Son of God, who's come down to earth to live with people. And he did amazing things like healing the sick, healing the blind. And he preached things that people just hadn't heard before about loving your enemies and forgiving your enemies. And he told parables like the prodigal son, where we hear things that God can love and accept even those who have made mistakes. And in the Beatitudes, we hear that it's the poor in spirit, those who mourn, those who are meek, who are blessed. But more than just moral teaching, he took on the sin of the whole world when he died on the cross so that you and I can be forgiven. And he rose to new life so we can too also can have new life. I mean, this Jesus, he was amazing, right? What a guy. He was the main man. He had authority. He knew what he was doing. Anyway, he's just about to ascend into heaven. And he says this. He says, "You," to the disciples, "you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." How qualified do you think these disciples felt at this point? They'd been chosen to be his witnesses, in other words, to spread the good news about Jesus, to spread the gospel. This was the service to which they had been called. To tell others that he died so that they might live and live life to the full, that they can be free of guilt and shame, they can be free of the power of sin, that they can know God's love. I mean, this is seriously good news. But the calling wasn't just to tell their next door neighbor. If we look at this map here, first of all, in the kind of, I guess, the brownie bit there, it's in Jerusalem. Jerusalem's a big place, a big sort of city. That's a big calling. Spread the gospel there. But more than that, spread it around all of Judea. That's the whole of that big sort of brown region. And Samaria too. This is spreading out. But not just that, to the ends of the earth. So way off this map. I mean, what a calling. Do you think they fully comprehended what they were being asked at this time? We're going through this series at the moment about unexpected heroes. And my word, was there going to be a need for unexpected heroes to kind of come into this calling? How qualified do you think they felt? Well, there's a saying, I don't know if you've heard it before, that God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. And we see this start to play out, coming into fruition. Firstly, in Jerusalem, God adds to their numbers, and they preach the gospel, and they do amazing things, and heal people, and so on. And then we come to the account of Philip and the Ethiopian. Do you remember when we covered that a couple of months ago? God calls Philip, "Go to this place." And he finds this Ethiopian eunuch there, who's a pretty important chap, and he's clearly seeking God. But he wouldn't have been allowed into the temple because he would have been seen as somehow damaged. And he was trying to read these Old Testament scriptures, and he just can't understand it. And Philip explains them to them and tells him basically how these are pointing to Jesus. And he explains the good news about Jesus Christ. And he accepts this. And he's baptized. And it says that he went on his way rejoicing. And this guy was the first African Christian. So Philip has heard God's call, and he was willing to serve, and God pointed him where he wanted him to be. And as a result of that, the gospel has spread into a whole new region. I mean, I wonder if Philip really realized that, contemplated that when he was obedient in serving God. What was maybe a fairly small act of service had such a large impact. The gospel brought to a whole new place in the world. And then later we read about Peter's vision of the animals coming down on the sheet. Do you remember when Rick brought that and he was all dressed up and the kids brought their teddies and we lifted up here all the teddies on this sheet? But there's a couple of really key verses, realizations, revelations really, that Peter has in this. Firstly, he says, God has shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean. And then later he says, I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. This message, this good news of Jesus was for the whole world. It wasn't just to be constrained just to one people group. It was for people of every nationality, every color of skin, every culture. This is the calling of God, really, given to these unqualified, unexpected heroes. And gradually they move here and there, starting in Jerusalem, then Judea and Samaria, and then a bit further afield, which leads us to the passage that we're going to come to today. Now, I know that some people are kind of visual learners, so I thought it might be useful to get some people up just to give us a visual impression of what the main people in this passage might look like. And there's two main protagonists in our story today. So we've got two people who have very generously volunteered, possibly very foolishly volunteered this morning to help us out. So can we have a round of applause for Ant and Nikki as they come up? Just going to make this a bit higher. Antu, do you want to stand over this side of me? And Nikki, if you just come to this side. Yeah, there we go. Perfect. Not worried at all. Well, you should be. Firstly, here we have Paul. Okay, now Paul is not our unexpected hero for today, but in many ways he was, and we'll come to that in a bit. Now, I've actually found an early description of what Paul looked like. It's not from the Bible, but it was written sort of shortly after he died. And honestly, when I first read this, I thought this was a joke, but I promise you it is not. You can go away and research that. So as we go through this description, Anthony, I'd like you to kind of do your best to look like this description. Okay? So firstly, it says he was a man of middling size. Now, I guess for that day and age, you know, you're probably quite tall. So, yeah, a little bit. So that's perfect, yeah. Okay, man of middling size. And next it says, and his hair was scanty. Now, I'm sure, ladies and gentlemen, you'll agree that Anthony's got a fine head of hair here. But just so we can better sort of, you know, understand what maybe you're sort of looking at. So maybe, that's perfect. Look at that. Yeah, good, good. Man of middling size, hair was scanty, and his legs were a little crooked, and his knees were far apart. Perfect. He had large eyes, and his eyebrows met. I promise you this is genuine. Big eyes, and maybe we can... There we go. We can just make sure that those... Hang on. Do you want to hold that on? It's too much doing it live. Just sort of... Oh, perfect. There we go. Yeah, okay. So, what we've done, middling size, hair scanty, legs were a little crooked, knees far apart, large eyes, and his eyebrows met, and his nose was somewhat long. So, maybe we can... There we go. Perfect. Now, doesn't he look heroic? As we're going through our passage today, you'll be able to visualize. Catherine, I can see your heart all aflutter there. You'll just have to contain yourself for a few moments. You can relax, but just leave that on for a minute. What a heroic-looking character. Now, Paul had previously hated Christians. He persecuted them. So clearly, he was totally unqualified to do anything for God, really. But God miraculously met with him and turned his life around and turned the whole course of history around like that. He'd heard and he'd understood and he'd accepted this gospel, this good news. And he couldn't keep it to himself. He wanted everybody to get this amazing message. He'd heard this call about being Jesus' witnesses in the local area, in the wider region, and all around the world. And he's like, yes, count me in. He's enthusiastic. He's all in. Thank you, Paul. You can relax a little bit. You can leave it on if you want to. Good luck.
Do you need my eye brand?
Now, next we come to our next character. Don't worry, it's not that bad. Before we do, can I ask you, do you have a favourite colour?
I do.
Go on, shout it out loud.
Sorry,
what's your favourite colour?
Green.
Purple, perfect. That will fit in just right with what we're looking at today. Now, Nikki here is going to be playing the part of Lydia. Now, you'll be very relieved I've not managed to find a physical description of Lydia. But maybe, like through the passage in the Bible, there's certain things we can kind of glean about her. So I'd like you just to do your best, if that's okay, to kind of just take on her persona, her character, as we go through. Now, Lydia, who is our unexpected hero for today, she lived in a place called Philippi, but she's originally from a city called Thyatira. And she was, it seemed, quite a strong, independent woman. Can you look strong and independent? Perfect, yeah. Sarah's actually helped with her. Maybe just hold this one up against you here. There you go. Just sort of hold it up there, yeah. Perfect, yeah, that's good. That's good. Yeah, strong, independent woman. And she was a dealer in purple cloth, possibly purple dye, but something like that. So I've tried to find some things that might be genuinely what she might have worn in this sort of period of time. So I'm sure dealer in purple cloth, she would have definitely worn sort of no expense spent on this. As you can see, it's falling to pieces. Yeah. Maybe this too. Yeah, this is historically accurate. Yeah, yeah, perfect. Yeah, there we go. Historic, very, very nice. Now, buying clothes in this day and age was not a lot about like sort of popping down to your local Primark and getting an entire outfit for sort of £2.19. But particularly purple was really expensive. Purple clothes were reserved for the rich, the kind of local dignitaries, royalty, perhaps. So she's probably doing quite well for herself. So can you look kind of like you're doing? Look rich. There you go. Well, you know, yeah, perfect, there we go. Now, we learn that she ran her own household. There's no mention of any husband, so some people think that she was perhaps a widow, but she was clearly quite a powerful, influential woman. Powerful and influential? Yes, powerful and influential. Now, we might jump to conclusions thinking that, you know, because she's so rich and powerful, that maybe she's quite greedy. You know, maybe she thinks a lot of herself, but actually, the Bible describes her as being a worshipper of God. Worshipful? Worshipful. Perfect. Now, she was not a Christian. She did not know this. You can if you want. She didn't know the good news about Jesus Christ. She probably actually wasn't a Jew, not ethnically, I mean. But she did join with other Jews in their praying, with their worshipping. And that in itself, I think, is quite inspiring, because despite her position, despite her surroundings, she was faithful to God. She was a worshipper. She was a prayer. And actually, if you look at different church revivals, look at different churches, and even if you look at this church here, there have often been ladies who have prayed, sometimes older ladies who have prayed, and, you know, praise God for faithful, godly women praying. Women, you men folk can pray too, but thank God for praying women. Now, guys, you've been good sports. You can sit, you can take your car. It might be distracting if you left, let it on, but give a round of applause for these two. Dump it down somewhere. So let's look at our passage. We're going to start in Acts 16 with our handsome Paul, okay? It says this from verse 6. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. Now, Asia here is sort of a region of Greece at the time rather than what we would call Asia today. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, But the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach to them. So Paul was going about his business, active in his service of spreading the gospel. And for some reason, we don't know why, God's Spirit is preventing him from going to certain places. And perhaps it wasn't because God didn't want the gospel to go to those places. You know, I'm sure he did. But I think maybe at this time, God wanted Paul to do something specific. And maybe, you know, there are seasons like that in our lives that normally we're going along in our, as Christians, we're doing our best to walk with God and showing love and kindness, and God's Spirit is with us. And perhaps there are other times when God puts a specific calling on our hearts for different people, for different places. And maybe that seems to be happening here. God gives this Paul this vision. God gives a vision to Paul, go to Macedonia. Now, this would have been a very different place for Paul, I think. It was way off the map that we looked at before. Remember, we talked about Jerusalem and then Judea and Samaria and then the ends of the earth. Well, maybe Macedonia was a bit like the ends of the earth for Paul at this point in time. It was a faraway place. It was a different culture. I think it had been seen as a different continent even at that time as they understood it. Now, just as an aside, I remember when Marianne and I first moved down to Farnham from this glorious place they call the North. And we'd heard that Farnham was perhaps a little bit posh, you know. Anyway, on our first Sunday in church, somebody who sat in this room, but I won't name them, invited us for lunch. How nice is that? And went to their house, and they served us cucumber sandwiches off the finest China plates. And we thought, by heck, it's posh here, isn't it? And at that moment, Marianne and I realized that we had been called to the very ends of the earth here in Farnham. But actually, more seriously, I know that there are some of you here who have come from a different nation. And if that's you, it's really important for you to know that you are as much a part of us as anybody else here. We're blessed to have you. We are enriched by having you. You are our brothers and sisters in Christ. Anyway, back to where Paul sent to Macedonia. Yeah, so this might have been quite scary for Paul. And you can imagine he might have thought, thanks for that, God, but no, I'm working over here, thank you. I'm going to serve you, but I'm serving you on my terms over here. But he didn't, did he? It says they got ready at once. He's serving God on God's terms, which I suppose that's real service, isn't it? He's convinced that God is calling him to preach the gospel in Macedonia. So he got up. He was obedient. He's so passionate about this gospel. He so loves God, and he so wants to be obedient. He just got up and did it. He was willing to step out of his comfort zone so that others completely different from himself, might come to know this love of God. I wonder if any of you have ever heard God's calling, perhaps to another nation, or perhaps to somebody a bit different from yourself. Somebody whose family setup is completely different to yours, has a different color of skin to you, is a completely different age to you. Do you know, sometimes the very ends of the earth can be on our doorstep, just different people. When you're praying, ask God, who are you sending me to, Lord? Or perhaps you just need to pause and ask God to show you the wonder of his gospel once again, to reignite that passion in your heart for his gospel, for his kingdom. Paul here in this passage, it says he got ready at once. Do you know, honestly, I don't know if I would have. Reading this has made me pray, Lord, who will I be your witness to? Who needs to know of your love, your forgiveness, your grace? Give me the passion and the humility, Lord, to respond like Paul did and just get ready at once. Anyway, we'll carry on and see where Lydia fits into this picture. So Paul got this vision, right, and he's sent to Macedonia. So he went there, and he went to this place called Philippi, which is a Roman colony. If we carry on now, a bit further down from verse 13, it says this. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city, the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshipper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. If you consider me a believer in the Lord, she said, come and stay at my house. And she persuaded us. So this is our unexpected hero, unexpected heroine perhaps, Lydia, who is this dealer in purple cloth. And she was in charge of her household. So as we say, she's possibly quite wealthy. And like we said, that might lead us to jump to conclusions about her. Perhaps she's a bit greedy, you know, a bit self-obsessed or self-important. But what does the Bible say about her? Now, the Bible's generally pretty frank about the characters in there. If you get into the Bible, you get in there, warts and all. But what does it say about Lydia? It says that she was a worshipper of God. She hadn't let her success go to her head. You know, I'm too important for this God stuff. Too busy for that. She doesn't say that at all. She's a worshipper. Now, she does not know Jesus at this point. She doesn't know this good news about Jesus even. But there's something in her heart, it seems, that is seeking God Almighty, something burning in her. Anyway, Paul and his friends seek out this group of women to tell them the gospel. And she'd never heard about Jesus before. I imagine she was seeking God, but she's thinking, you know, there must be more than this. God, I worship you, but I don't really know you. I wonder if there's anybody here like that, where you feel like you're in the right place, but you don't really know Jesus and the amazing things that he's done for you. If that's you, maybe God's on a beeline for you this morning, like he was on a beeline for Lydia in this passage. One particular word I really like in this, it says that she was listening, right? She was listening to the gospel being preached. She didn't think she had all the answers, that she'd made it. She was listening. I think that God can really do amazing things in people who are listening, who are willing for God to teach them. And then it says, the Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. So she listened to the gospel and she responded in her heart. And you can see God kind of orchestrating things here, can't you? Paul's heard God's calling and he's preached the good news about Jesus, but he couldn't force anybody to listen, to hear, or to accept. But God was, it seems, already working on her heart. She responded and she was baptized. And all of her household was baptized. Now, we don't know how that works with a household. Did they all respond too? But I wonder if she knew that passage that we read earlier today. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I just love that verse. It's so determined, isn't it? Setting out your stake. She responded to God and she was leading in that really, but leading in humility. I've heard what God has done and this changes everything. Right? This is how we in our household are now going to live because of this. This is the core of who we are. No matter what people say, no matter what the circumstances are, we are serving the Lord. She's determined in this. But bear in mind, there aren't other Christians around at this point in time. It's quite a bold thing, isn't it, for her? Lydia, what a woman. Now let's just take stock at this point. Do I have ears to hear this wonderful gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ? Do I have an open heart to respond to what God is doing? Would I jump to serve in talking to my neighbors maybe? Perhaps in my course mates or showing hospitality? in getting in touch with that person that God's put on my heart. Because you know that God might just do something amazing with what might seem a small act of service. And as we'll see, Lydia's service turned into something quite amazing. So as a quick recap, Paul has heard God's call and he was obedient and he went to an unknown foreign place to preach the good news. And Lydia listened to the gospel and opened her heart to this message, and she was baptized. So straight away we see that what God has done has resulted in some sort of action. She's been baptized. She wants to tell the world, this is the new me now. This is my identity. But let's just read this last verse again. It says, she invited us to her home. If you consider me a believer in the Lord, she said, come and stay at my house. And she persuaded us. This last bit makes me smile. She's not arrogant, thinks she's got all the answers, got it all sorted. If you consider me a believer in the Lord, so there's a humility there. You know, she's not an experienced Christian. She's brand new. She's open to being put right. But then she says, come and stay at my house. And the bit that I really like is, she persuaded us. She was not taking no for an answer. Come on, come on, come and stay at my house. Come on, you've got to come and stay. She was desperate to show some love in return. She was desperate to serve. So she's listened to the gospel. And she's responded in her heart to what God is doing. And now she's serving as a result of that. She's reacted in a practical manner to what God has done. Now, we don't know the whole story, but I wonder if it's a bit like Philip in the Ethiopian, where he went off rejoicing. I reckon she was just so full of joy that she wanted to share her house. She wanted to be hospitable. She wanted to show love to others. In fact, I think if she wanted to serve, I reckon it was a joy to her to serve. God had done something in her that just wanted to break out, burst out. And Lydia was the first European Christian. She was quite a trailblazer, really, wasn't she? All by herself in that, but she went for it. So first in Jerusalem, and then in Judea and Samaria, and then there was this Ethiopian eunuch, and now there was this European Christian, the first European Christian. Be my witnesses, locally, further afield, to the very ends of the earth. Be my witnesses to those people who are just like you, those who you've got a bit in common, and those who are utterly different from yourself. Because the gospel isn't really about people inviting people into our world, is it? It's about inviting people into God's world, into his kingdom. I remember that we don't know what God will do with our obedience, our service in the long term. Now, with that Ethiopian guy we talked about before, we don't know, but church history, it doesn't say in the Bible, but church tradition says that he went and spread the gospel around Ethiopia, which, you know, sounds plausible with me. But with Lydia, the Bible does give a little hint as to what happened with her further down the line. The story goes on, and Paul carries on here and there, and the authorities don't like what he's doing, and he's arrested, and he's sent to jail with Silas. Pretty bad place. But after some time, God allows him to miraculously escape. And can you guess where they went when they escaped? They went to Lydia's house. Her insistence on hospitality had obviously made them feel so welcome. Her heart of service made them feel at home. So they went there. And do you know what they found when they got there? Perhaps Lydia has backslidden. Can't keep this up. Perhaps she's there struggling all alone. Well, the Bible actually says that there was a gathering of Christians at her house. It says, we met with the brothers and sisters there and encouraged them. So first Paul was obedient. Go! And he went. Then Lydia listened, responded in her heart, and acted in service. But she pressed on in this service and this hospitality. And now we have this first gathering of Christians on another continent in Europe. And of course, this spiraled on with other groups of Christians and other churches all over. It's like this domino effect, isn't it? Receiving God's love, acting on God's love, passing God's love on. I don't want to hold it in for myself. You know, I want others to know and do far more than I ever could. I want others, like the Ethiopian, to go away rejoicing. I want others, like Lydia, to use what they have, their home, their hospitality, their talents, for this most precious of things, the gospel. Because you never know what God will do with your service. Maybe you will be an unexpected hero in your street, in your workplace, in your family. Amen. I'm going to invite the band back up, but perhaps I can just pray while they're coming. Lord God, we thank you so much for your gospel that takes us as we are. This gospel is precious to us, Lord. But we thank you for the examples of Paul and of Lydia. Lord, help us to be bold in stepping out. Lord, give us ears to hear. What do you want to do with us? Because, Lord, it's all about your glory. Father, we want to come to you. We want to serve. We want to give you all the glory as we sang before, because you are worthy of it. We praise you with all we have, Father. Amen.